Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals 3 Wrap Up Podcast for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing phenomenal, Brian, and that phenomenality is twofold.
Lay it on me.
All right. The first is that we just got off of what I think was an awesome episode of the challenge. I feel like we've reached a real turning point here this season.
I would agree. I think we're in a good stage. What's number two?
And just to clarify, this is our live reaction here. Not live as in we're talking to you live, but we just came. It is 11:21 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, right after the episode. So I'm jazzed about that. It's
podcasting after dark.
Up all night.
Yeah.
We were inspired. And then two is, I didn't tell you this. So we recorded an Are You the One podcast yesterday for anyone who's joining us once every other week for Are You the One. And I didn't tell you this on the podcast because I didn't want to psych you out. But I thought that that was such a funny episode that we recorded, and not because of me, but I thought you were just completely on fire. And you know I'm not one to just say nice things to you that I don't mean. I was actually thinking about
this all
day.
Normally you say mean things that you do mean. This is a nice change. I appreciate that.
No, normally I say mean things that I don't mean and just don't mean anything I say. That's why sincerity is difficult for me. People don't take me seriously.
Well, as Corey would say, he's an angry tired. I am a slow thinker tired. So this may not be my top game. So hopefully I don't let you down too much.
Well, anyone who doesn't like this episode can just switch to the Are You the One episode yesterday. I try not to laugh on the podcast because it's like disruptive. Usually I think it's funny. I just don't laugh. I couldn't help but laugh. So definitely check that out. And I think Sean E. from CT would agree because he left us a 5-star review. So thank you, Sean E. from CT. Mm-hmm. If you want to review either podcast or both, they're both on the same network. Rob is a website.com/challenge iTunes.
Yep, that's correct.
All right. No pressure. I'll make up for it because when I'm exhausted, I run like the Energizer Bunny. It won't be good, but it'll be there.
Running won't really help us, but yeah, we can do that. Let's run around in circles.
All right, so
0-for-1, I can feel it.
No, I'm loving it. All right, so we pick up where we left off a long, dreary, tired week ago.
I'll be honest, like, we joked about this after the episode. We're like, oh, how are we gonna remember any of these questions after it? I didn't even remember we ended halfway through a challenge last week, so that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to remember anything besides Alberto, which I will never forget.
Oh, Alberto.
Oh, we hardly Alberto. Knew you.
The great, not even an iguana. What was he? Was he an iguana?
He was the Mr. T iguana.
Okay, he was an iguana. I got that right. Okay, good.
Oh my God, I was just tempted to say, pity the lizard. We're in trouble, everyone. We're in trouble. Buckle up.
Yeah, are you surprised they didn't like take him home as a pet? I thought he would just be in the house when they got back and then he would just be chilling there with them.
I don't know. I wish we saw more of him than just the weird flashback that we then get like through halfway through the episode of just flashbacks of the challenge as though it was supposed to be traumatic.
Yeah, and then we didn't really get like a good sense of all like the question. We didn't get like a good sense of like, here's the question for this specific thing. It felt like kind of just wherever someone was in the order they were showing the questions. The whole point of this, it was stupid to break this challenge up into two parts because this would have been one good free flowing stuff. And now it was discombobulated.
Now that you mention it, I do appreciate that not a lot of time was spent on like them actually showing us the questions and answers because I think they accepted we wouldn't know it. I thought Jenna came out strong here as basically the voice of the audience with there's a man on fire. I'm not looking at his shirt.
And how about Daro? This is one bad job of MTV saying like, how am I supposed to remember any of this stuff? It's like, I think I didn't even watch it. How did they not go to the cut of Daro literally saying, let's not watch?
They basically went back to every single thing besides that.
Yeah.
I think we had so many flashbacks of unnecessary things.
Except for the one thing he actually was flashing back to.
All right, so enough bitching about this on both of our parts. We didn't like it. They ruined an otherwise good challenge.
The challenge was good. It was just annoying that it was in two parts.
Another annoying thing is that we get, again, the Lovestruck duo now, but Sarah and Bananas having another forgiveness moment coming in first place.
Yeah, and it seemed like, as they would say, they shit stomped it. Like, they seemed to be done pretty quick.
The thing is, and we'll get to it later with the power couple duo, how they're literally, you know, it's like, you complete me, like Dr. Evil and Mini Me. And it's just like, I so, so wish that MTV did not tell us there would be a friend or foe finish on this season, because that's all I can think about. That's all I can see with this now. I can't accept for the life of me that Sarah has, as she said, like, mended a friendship.
Right. It is, but I mean, this is just typical MTV to spoil their big ending to the end. And they didn't really, I mean, they hinted at it. We don't really know the specifics of how it's going to go down. So they still have kind of that.
I appreciate your optimism, but I'm at this point totally on track. I mean, they got me with the end of this episode, but right now I'm on track to believe, and I can't wait to be wrong. I'm hoping to be wrong. A prayer hands emoji. I can't see anything except Banana screwing her. And I just want so badly to have that have been a surprise. That would be such a sweet situation if that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it would be. But that, like, that's just like that type of thing is just never going to really come out of. Like, we were surprised one time when just a team went home like that, like just getting sent home for violence is a surprise. So they're never going to spoil, like, they're never not going to spoil like a big twist ending.
Now, I have a question. Are we getting more? I feel like in this episode, we got more of TJ than we usually do. And I only mean he had two extra lines, but I thought both of them were flawless.
Well, he brought back psych into our lexicon, offering up a clue and taking it right back. So shout out to him for that.
I love that. I feel like the more we go to, there's a fine line, I guess, between him being underutilized and him being overutilizing it. Utilized and killing it in a bad way. So I feel like I like that they're giving him a couple more spots here.
Yeah, and even after the challenge, like, I think it might have been a deliberation. Whatever phrase he used to congratulate Sarah and Bananas was also a weird one. But it was like a only a TJ can make it sound cool phrase.
Oh, I missed it.
So I don't remember what it was. I didn't write down. Bad job, MA.
We make some sacrifices by doing this podcast 24 hours earlier than normal.
It was good, though.
So we have a couple questions. So basically, for this challenge, Bananas, as you say, Bananas and Sarah totally smoke them. And Nani and Wes come up short here in last place. Michael Durkis says, Wes appeared to give up halfway through the challenge after Sarah and Bananas won. Did he assume he was going in regardless and just give up? Or is the Wes I know and love withering away?
Well, I mean, he's definitely withering away. Just do the side-by-side shots of him now versus him like 5 years ago, and he's like half the person. But I wouldn't think he would give up. That would be kind of a weird thing to do, to just guarantee yourself to be in elimination as opposed to, at worst, 50-50.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to believe what people on these shows tweet after the episode. But Wes did tweet, Anna Jose pulled this. FYI, as soon as I didn't get first, I threw it. I was going in no matter what. This forces the fruitcake to make another enemy. But as you just said, Leah Knight said, wouldn't it be better to be thrown in, though, since you only have. Or would it be better to be thrown in, though, since you only have a 50. I'm sorry. Wouldn't it be better to be thrown in, though, since you only have a 50% chance of going in this season?
Yeah, I mean, it would. I mean, that's bad logic on Wes. I mean, if Bananas isn't already an enemy of yours, then you're an idiot on the show. So you shouldn't have to create more. But it seemed like he did.
I also feel like
I guess it worked.
I just feel like MTV would eat that up with a spoon if they could get Wes to say in a confessional, like, all right, Bananas and Sarah win. I'm going in. Let me roll over so they get screwed. You know, I feel like they would have loved to see that, and Wes would have delivered it had it been reality.
And I mean, this is a challenge where even if he was throwing it, I mean, Nani could have still won it. Like, all they're doing was stacking pieces in order. Like, I don't think she was fine throwing it, too. So,
and we saw them. I mean, whatever we'll believe, we have the show we have. So with the editing, the last week's episode, we were pretty displeased with how long it took Wes to realize that he had to start paying attention.
Right. Yeah. It was at least until the third or fourth thing. And he didn't think Bananas was on it, and he was one of the last ones on it. Yeah.
So what do you make of Wes and Nani losing here? Assuming we buy that they just lost. Is this a huge disappointment?
You would think, I feel like this should have been a challenge where if you're like a veteran of the game, like you should know that when weird stuff starts happening during a challenge like this, you should be paying attention early. So, I mean, we were kind of on this right there last week that it was a bad job by Wes to take it so long to realize what was happening. So they kind of hinted at it that he would kind of shit the bed here.
And he's also billed as the strategic thinker, the more cerebral opposition to Bananas. So right. This really was his to lose here, and he lost it.
Yeah, I mean, if Sarah's like the thinker of the women, he should be the male version of that, and he failed big time.
I have a huge question coming up about, I'm just eager to get to the end of the show. So not the podcast, to talk about the jungle. But so I totally forgot again that they brought back the cash prize for winning
totally
the farm.
Totally forgot.
And they have basically zero reaction to winning $1,000 each. Is that a product of them being, you know, old established adults? And so $1,000 when you have like a marriage and a mortgage isn't that big of a deal? Because I'd get excited for $1,000.
Of course, I would get pumped for $1,000 right now. But he's probably making $1,000 a day on that show. So who the hell knows?
I don't know. That was like such a letdown because they used to freak out over like a BMX bike. And now it's like, here's a cool grand. After taxes, it's $500, but it's still cash. It's not some shitty prize.
I mean, it could have just also been just pure exhaustion for being up for how many hours they were. And they just wanted to like, all right, we won. Let me go home and go to sleep.
What do you think about this, Brian? I stay up 24 hours. You give me $1,000. I'll be excited about it. Well, YouTube it. I'll keep the money.
Only if I can orchestrate chainsaw and people on fire and people to bring you street meat as you stay up.
I'll consider it. I'll take it under advisement.
Okay.
But yeah, this Are You the One day trip. I'm a little over these already.
The only thing interesting about it was just the decision, right? I mean, the actual thing, them going away, was kind of blah, but as we always see on the show, we're not supposed to talk about, we will talk about anyway, Survivor, that the reward itself is not really interesting. It's people you piss off and support when you make your decision.
I'm just laughing because it's like one poor, very nice listener made one comment to us and we're like every episode talking about it.
Remembers.
My reaction to Bananas' picks of Vince and Jenna here and Corey and Ashley was, this is how like a real experienced strategic team makes a selection. Whether or not it was the 100% correct pick, there were a couple ways to go here. This was definitely one of the good ways to go.
But the picking of Vince and Jenna, wouldn't that be like, if we wouldn't be criticized that on the show that is not supposed to be named, is like, this is like your true, like easy ally, even more so because this is literally his cousin that he shouldn't have to butter up.
Right. Well, it's almost like right. It's a theory. Like it's more important who you leave behind than who you take with you sometimes. So you should leave your ally behind. But Vince isn't exactly going to be, if anything, I think he could only hurt Bananas by being left to his own devices amongst people who are angry at Bananas. Like, I feel like if he left Vince behind, Vince is not, it's almost like you have to evaluate the people of your alliance. Vince is going to get out of hand. We've already needed to see Bananas police him once. You make a good point, but I think it worked out in Banana's favor here.
That's fair.
At least it didn't hurt him.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And it does help that if you have like a buddy with you to kind of tag team Corey and Ashley in that situation, so it does kind of help. So that's true.
But I did think the flip side would be, I don't think he stood to make an enemy out of Corey and Ashley by not bringing them. I don't think they would have even thought they'd be considered to be brought with him and would have cared. I do think that Kellyanne, and my initial thought was Kellyanne and Jamie are going to start stewing and you're cutting people you could have. I feel like they could have been wooed easier by this boat trip. Like if he brought Kellyanne, he'd have Kellyanne in his pocket. But we see later that he doesn't care about having Kellyanne in his pocket. So.
Right. It seems like he's more interested in having Corey and Ashley there. So,
what do you think about this, though, from Corey's perspective?
It's hard to get a gauge if Corey's really buying it, because if he is buying it, then it's not good. But if you're just saying, yeah, oh, this is great. Yeah, we'll go to the final three. Sure, this is great. And the back of his head is like, all right, this is complete bullshit and I still know where my focus is at, then I have no problem with it. Like, when someone says, like, oh, let's go to the final three, it's never a good idea to say no. They're, why would I ever do that with you? Like, you always just say yes. It's just a matter of if he's actually believing it or not.
Yeah, hundo. I mean, it would be ridiculous for Corey to be on the boat and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to see what Wes has to say and I'll get back to you. Right. But I just thought, you know, we get the confessional of him and maybe he's just like high on this boat life. But he's saying like, yeah, let's go to the final three just with him and Ashley to the camera. And I'm like, this is such a stupid final three for him.
Right. Yeah, this would be a disastrous final three.
I mean,
it would be a disastrous final four because I don't even know how it would get there. Like this final four was just this final three would never happen because there would have to be another team in the mix in the final four. And I mean, one of those three would it wouldn't work. So
it ain't happening.
No.
Calling it now. Brian and Cohen.
I'm willing to die on that wall that these three teams will not be the final three.
The other thing is with Banana's approach, it seemed to work out for him, as in like Corey was like, yep, I'm all in. But Banana said something very insulting to him to start this out. I don't know if he's been watching The Pickup Artist. You're supposed to like neg him first.
Yeah, of the lower teams, he's the best.
This I will say that with between Wes and Bananas, I think Bananas is the better all around challenge player, but Bananas is unmatched compared to Wes in this specific kind of situation.
Buttering people up, you mean?
Yeah, just making these major political moves, like crossing the aisle here, getting people to do what you want them to do and making them think it's in their best interest. I mean, you don't open with, hey, you're the best of the worst, so, you know, hitch your wagon to me.
Yeah, it was weird phrasing, but they didn't like there was no like, wait, what do you mean I'm the lower level? I was in a final last year. I'm great. I dragged Mitch to a final. Like, there was none of that. It was just, yeah, that's right. I am the best of the worst.
Yeah, I think he got very lucky that, you know, who he was talking to, because we've seen him put his foot in his mouth before. So it's not just like, oh, I could say whatever to Corey. I'm not going to finesse it at all. Like, right. I think he just got lucky.
No, absolutely.
What else? I'm going to go to bed now. See you later.
Peace. Nani talking to Nicole about thinking, so this is the first hint that Nicole will not be thrown in because we're hinting that Nicole will be thrown in.
Right. Yeah, that was Nani's reaction to this, I thought was like pretty strong here this episode. I think we saw like a nice arc for Nani here coming out of the potential to work with Bananas and stifling Wes here. Overall, we're going to see Nani say to Wes, like, all right, it's time to do your thing. But I like that she's not, you know, later when Nicole doesn't get thrown in, she's not fooled by it. She's not like, ooh, that's a sign that he wants to work with us.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got some clarity on really where they stand. Like, that was always like the big thing is like, is Nani in the Banana camp or is she still pissed at him for everything that happened last season? And it's clear that she's still pissed at him and she has no problem working with her partner Wes to try to take him down. So that was good to get some answers there.
It will also be interesting to see just from a season to season basis, like what's going to happen next season. Like, is this the end? Was last season the official end of Nani and Bananas, or is this repairable?
Right. It's easy for Nani to stay pissed at Bananas when she has Wes in her ear chirping about how much of an asshole and a jerk Bananas is all season. So, yeah, if she's out on her own next time, it could be a different story.
One thing is when we're at the deliberation, this is the other moment where I thought TJ stepped out of his comfort zone and was superb. When Bananas is, all right, so he sends in Wes and Ani are going in, then he sends in Devin and Cheyenne, and then he says that he's looking at the odds. And TJ, with the Jeff Probst follow-up, like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean
follow
odds?
Your heart. No strategy.
I liked that there was a follow-up and that Bananas got pushed because we see a lot of bullshit being spewed at these deliberations. So I like that TJ pushed him a little bit.
Yeah, I always like when TJ pushes back. I hope he does it more and they just, for some reason, they just don't show it. But I hope he always gives some little pushback. Don't let him just throw out names for the hell of it.
Yeah, but so what do you think of Bananas' logic here to send in Kellyanne and Jamie?
I mean, I don't really disagree with throwing them in. The logic doesn't make sense. I don't really think of Jamie and Kellyanne as like weak pushover team. If anything, I thought it'd be like, oh, let me try to get rid of a strong team.
Yeah, I think he should have really just put all of his eggs in pissing off Wes and Nani and just saying, I need to send in someone, two teams who are going to get these assholes out of the house. And I have the utmost faith in these two teams.
Do Sarah and Kellyanne have a relationship? I can't keep track anymore of these friends. Are they friends?
I guess not, right? Not that I know of, because Kellyanne, when she's talking about getting picked, she mentions her relationship with Bananas. For whatever that's worth.
I was thrown for a loop when Christina said her and Kellyanne are best friends. Now all bets are off as to who's best friends in this house.
Well, see, that follows, though, because there was that whole issue with Camilla saying to Christina, only trust me and Kellyanne. And then when Camilla ends up being saved from elimination, Kellyanne tweeted, like, thanks, Christina, you know, for listening to me, even though they didn't show it. So that I felt like was brewing. I don't know about best friend, although it's slim pickings in that house for Christina.
I guess that's true.
But as far as, yeah, I mean, to put down the team that you're already pissing off was another bad move for Bananas. Like, you've been in almost last place and Kellyanne's like, actually, that wasn't true.
Yeah, actually, we just finished second, but yeah, sure.
So Edward Marr says right picks in Kellyanne and Jamie and Devin and Cheyenne.
I really don't have a problem with it. It's really just the logic behind the Jamie Kellyanne pick. I don't really agree with, but I mean, we would end up at the same place, I guess. Especially, I mean, if you're trying to like bring in Corey and Ashley to like his side, then I don't really disagree with not throwing them in yet. So
I feel like the Wes move, if Wes were Bananas and the situation was reversed, would be to convince Corey and Ashley to volunteer to go in to knock out those big vets. Like, I feel like you could easily fluff up Corey and be like, come on, you could be like, you could wreck him. Like, he's, you know, you did it before, you do it again, like that kind of thing.
I would hope for Corey's sake, he wouldn't be that naive and stupid to do that.
And the ego is there. The ego is there.
It's there. It's definitely a possibility, though. I would say the more likely candidate to be done something like that too is Dario, but I like that wasn't going to happen here. But what do you think was not throwing Dario and Nicole? Because I thought that would have been just the move.
I don't know why he didn't do that, except for the fact that my instinct was that he was, as you're saying, sending in a team that he thought could beat Wes and Nani, and he did not think that Nicole and Dario stood a chance. Mm-hmm.
I guess, so then why throw in Devin and Cheyenne then? Why not just throw, like, I mean, there's, I don't know how you can think Dario and Nicole aren't better than them, really. So why not just throw them in?
Yeah, that I don't know. I don't know that. I mean, I think, yeah, I don't know. I think what Nani was saying was bullshit, that like, oh, he's afraid that Nicole will come back after him. Like, no, he's not afraid of that. But I don't know.
And she's already be coming back after him. So like, what's there to be more afraid of?
That didn't really make sense. The only thing that I was thinking of was, well, Devin, I know he's concerned about Devin and Wes for whatever that's worth. So if he can put them against each other and he loses Devin to him, I guess that's the closest strike he could take at Wes. Mm-hmm. But then I'm wondering if we see that Bananas and Vince are secretly hoping to slit Corey's throat to get back at him for what he did to them in Bloodlines. For anyone who didn't see, Corey had a hand in voting in Bananas going home and voting Bananas and Vince in. And we do get the flashback to that, but no.
Yeah, we do.
Was this an emotional play against Kara? Kara?
I don't think so. That's really thin, I think. I wouldn't draw that conclusion.
Or not necessarily just a hit on Kara, but Jamie and I are clearly never going to work together because of me and Kara. So, you know, when he says they're never going to help me out, like it's clearly not all based on their challenge performance. Right. So maybe it's right. Just on a trust level. Why would he think that him and Kara's cousin are going to have any sort of relationship?
Well, that's a possibility. I can agree with that. There's really no bond there. But to say like, oh, I'm going to take out Jamie to get at Kara, that I don't agree with. But yeah, thinking like, all right, well, Kara hates me, so that means his cousin's gonna hate me. So yeah, there's no reason to even pretend to work together. That's fair.
Backtracking for a bit, do you think it's weird that Bananas still holds that grudge against Corey and would want to, you know, cut him based on that?
No, I mean that was just last season, right? So it's not like he's holding it for that long. I mean, he held a grudge on Sarah for two seasons.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he, I mean, he's been holding a grudge with Wes for 10 years, you know, like, yeah. I don't even mean it's too long. I just, you know, it's an emotional play, but I think with a game like this, as opposed to some other games where there might be returners, you know, you're going to play with these people again and again and again. So the mm-hmm. bonds are real. It's not just like, oh, that was a one-time thing. We happen to be back again. Let's let bygones be bygones.
Right. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just Corey and Ashley have to be viewed to Bananas as one of the biggest threats to them going forward. So if you could just try to buy the one time next that they win and they don't throw you in, it's worth the shot.
Emily Crow says, Dario and Nicole were already against Bananas and Sarah. Why did they just make a new enemy in Jamie and Kellyanne?
Right. That's, I mean, unless he probably just viewed them as an already foregone enemy. So, which they probably were. Although Kellyanne didn't seem to agree with that.
The editing would have us believe that they just made an enemy out of Kellyanne. But the Jamie factor, you know, who knows?
Right. Right.
Alex Fischler says, are Nate and Christina playing a great social game or are they just being dragged as loyal but beatable? They weren't even mentioned as a possibility by Bananas and Sarah.
They're being dragged. 100%. Yeah. I mean, they don't even seem like they're friends with them. Christina Lewis said it, her best friend is one of the teams that are against Bananas. So it's not like they're really buddy-buddy with them.
But didn't Christina and Nate make some kind of deal with Vinny and Jenna and Bananas and Sarah? Wasn't that whole Brianna yeah. beef?
I mean, they said, like, if we ever win, we won't throw you in. So.
And then they won and they, you know, didn't. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're with them. So, I mean, yeah, good for them. They'll be in, I would make a good bet they're in the fourth place elimination round.
Yeah, I mean, they did exactly what they wanted to do or what their strategy was going to propel them to, which is complete invisibility now as they get the Jenna and Jay spot, potentially in the final even.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's where they are. They're in the Devin spot from free agents, which, I mean, look, that can get you third place. So good for them.
So more money than we'll make this month.
There you go.
I don't know. Just I don't know what you get paid, but just respect to third place. I would take third place money.
Hey, if we get this going to a 2-hour podcast, it may just start spilling. So,
so this is this is where Nani kind of flips out. But anyway, so we really see, as you were saying, an establishment of both sides here. And Alex Panda Moran says, with two sides starting to really form this episode, with Bananas on one and Wes on the other, do you think there's a chance of a back and forth game, or is one side just going to steamroll it to the end?
I would say it's more of a back and forth. It's just going to depend each week on who wins. And I don't think it's not like the West side is that weak that they should never win. I mean, where Corey and Ashley end up, I don't think they were mentioned in like the foursome against Bananas, right? I guess maybe they're still kind of playing in the middle, but I mean, it's no reason to think Wes and Nani can't win next week or one of the other teams can't win. So I think that should go back and forth.
Yeah, I think, it kind of seems to me like it's Bananas against the house with Vince and potentially Corey and Ashley, although I do think that Corey will go where the numbers are. Mm-hmm. I think even if he intended to keep his more where the power is, which is where the numbers are, like if he even if he intended to keep that deal made on the boat, if Wes wins next week, Corey's right back in with Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. Which is the smart thing. Just keep saying yes to each side.
Which is incredible that these guys are so consumed with targeting each other that they're not targeting arguably a stronger team. I would say that right now, Corey and Ashley have objectively been performing better than Wes and Nani.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the three best teams were all on the boat today, which is why I don't see any way that they're the final three.
Well, let's talk about Vince and Jenna, because I thought they were getting really, really like puffed up this week, as in like, you know, Vince and Jenna and Bananas and Nani, or Bananas and Sarah, are two teams you wouldn't want to see in the final. Like, I don't know that Vince and Jenna are like unbeatable.
No, they're definitely not unbeatable. But I mean, compared to who's left, I would bet on them against those the quote unquote bottom teams or the lower level teams. Especially with Jenna. I mean, Jenna's right up there with either her or Sarah is the best girl in the house.
You're saying either her or Sarah are the best girl in the house?
Yeah.
You think that Jenna's better than Sarah? This is incredible. Lock this in. Record this. It is Wednesday, June something.
I didn't say she's better. I said either her or Sarah are the best girl of the house.
You can't say either is the best. So which one is the best?
They're both. I would say it depends on the competition.
Not even close. I think Sarah's the all-around better player.
I think on a certain elimination, Jenna could easily beat Sarah. Sarah would dominate.
If we're talking about threats for the final, I think there's just no question that Sarah is an overall better player. Maybe in something where Jenna's height would be an advantage, that would be where Jenna can take it. But I think in endurance, endurance are probably about the same. In eating, Sarah's got it. In puzzles, Sarah's got it. Like, there's nothing that Jenna can really do that Sarah can't do, in my opinion. And there's a lot that Sarah can do that Jenna can't. That's it. I'll put Jenna at number two. I just was shocked that you would say either of them are the best girl. And play. Like, Jenna has absolutely no strategic social game.
No, I think she probably has no strategic game. Her social game is probably, I think she's one of the more liked girls. So that, I think she's got that going for her. She just may not know how to use it properly, but she's very well liked.
Okay, so that's neutral then strategy. Sure. I think just in strategy and comps, Sarah's got it. And I didn't even mean to have this debate. I'm shocked that this exists. Please, everyone, let us know what you think. If I'm completely off base and I'm overrating Sarah, I'd love to hear that.
I mean, in a vacuum, yeah, give me Sarah over Jenna, but there are plenty of circumstances where I would say, okay, I think Jenna could probably win right here.
In terms of a final, I think if they ran a final individually, Sarah's got it all day.
I would love to see it.
But anyway, Vince, my point even in bringing them up was not that Jenna's the issue. It's that Vince is dead weight.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think Vince is more of the liability in that duo, especially because I think Jenna is probably smarter than Vince, honestly. Vince does not seem to have like all the screws there. He's not seem like a bright guy. And Jenna at least she says stupid things, but she sometimes, like, there's a little smartness in there, a little bit.
I don't think Jenna's stupid. I think that she made a lot of right calls in some challenges, especially this season. And Vince is the one that screwed everything up. And it's not just that he's not all there. It's that he thinks he is, right? So Jenna
will
at least,
worse.
Right. So Jenna will at least defer to a teammate or receive advice. Like, Vince is going to be like, oh, this is our mattress. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenna acknowledges that she may have liabilities. Yeah. Not acknowledging it is much worse than that.
I don't even remember what brought us to this. Oh, so overall, I would say as a team, I think I would have taken Kellyanne and maybe I have to go back to see challenge performance, I guess. But in my gut reaction was that Jamie and Kellyanne would have been a bigger threat in the final than Jenna and Vince. Granted, we don't know what the final is. Maybe it's like, you know, being tall and not eating anything and modeling. No, I'm just kidding. Jenna has real abilities. I like Jenna a lot. But I was just surprised that it was like, these are the two teams you don't want to face. It was like, I would face Jenna and Vince.
What it really is coming down to is Sarah and Bananas are just the clear number one. And that's just an issue for really everyone in the house. And I would be interesting if Vince kind of wakes up at a certain point, but like, all right, well, I do kind of win, and I probably won't win if I go up against him in the final. And I would love to see a scenario where he wins like the final four elimination and to see what he does.
Well, we've speculated about that before. I think when we heard about this cast, after seeing everything play out, I don't remember how I felt then. I think maybe I thought there would be a situation. I don't think there's any chance that Vince goes against the family.
Yeah, I don't see either. I don't. But I would just like to see it presented to him just so we can maybe get a little thought. But I don't see any scenario where he goes after the Godfather.
All right. So that brings us to, after that rousing debate, that woke me up feeling energized.
Yeah, what did you make of Kellyanne's speech about Bananas only targeting his girlfriends, not guy friends? I gotta be honest, I didn't really understand what she was saying, so I was really hoping you could just like spell it out for me.
My reaction was, duh, like, welcome to the world, Kellyanne. I thought, what was the gender thing didn't really bother me. what I glean from that is that she's basically saying, like, when the girls cut him, he gets mad, i.e. Sarah. But when he cuts the girls, it's fine, i.e. her going in or Nani going in. And it's like, yeah, that is Johnny's whole MO, is that if you come after him, it's not okay. But if he goes after you, it's fine.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's totally normal. Okay.
Then, I do think she's, 100%. I mean, he is closer. I think he has more respect for his alliances he makes with male partners, just historically. I can't go back and just say, has he never betrayed a male friend? But I think right. he's much more likely to view Camilla and Nani as disposable, as opposed to Leroy, you know, Johnny Riley, mm-hmm. those kinds of people.
And I mean, I would just guess, I mean, he's been with his girlfriend for at least 2-3 years. My guess, he's not really hanging out with Camilla, Nani, all these people outside the house very much. So he's not like building more bonds. Like I'm sure
allegedly,
I'm sure him and Leroy and, you know, Riley, and obviously I know Kenny and Evan are on the show, but like they all hang out outside the show, which just makes you closer. So
no, that's a great point. And something that's like we talk about, but we don't always talk about, which is just like how important these outside relationships are. And we just, you know, aren't always privy to that.
Right. I mean, apparently she doesn't even like Bananas hanging with Nani in the house on the show. There's no way them two are going to get a drink together.
And maybe that's why we're seeing them come in. Obviously, she's working with Wes, but why she doesn't flip out about going in. And in this episode, we just see her being like, I don't care about him anymore. He's really dead to me. And we just need to move on. Probably because they're not speaking anymore after Bloodlines right. outside of the game.
Agreed. Yeah. I would not be shocked if that was the case.
Speaking of things I don't understand, I was, or that are not understandable, I was, I will say, incorrectly disappointed when I first heard about the challenge being blind soccer.
So you were, your expectations were low.
It wasn't even expectations. I was certain that this was bullshit. I like the blind calling, like when somebody has to call and give instructions. I like that. But to me, it was just going to be so far-fetched and ridiculous that they would play soccer with a rattle ball blind and be expected to hear anything from their partners.
But how did you think it played out?
How did you think it played out?
I thought it played out splendidly.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The best of it is all the people just yelling out in the crowd, thinking they're helping people, but only making things worse for everyone involved.
Yeah, it became basically like after, you know, midway through the first round, which I believe was the longest round between Kellyanne and Nani.
Once again, the black skull not pulled.
Oh, yeah. So good for Devin and Cheyenne.
Yeah.
We get five points apiece.
So they're the Johnny Riley of this skull pulling season.
But it became basically like, all right, use the wall. Like, you're totally on your own. I think that almost would have been better if they didn't even put someone in a calling position. Because usually on other shows, we'll see them like on a higher level or with some, you know, there's no crowd in the background.
Right.
This was just like, maybe they were 3 feet closer to the person, but otherwise, I mean, your guess was as good as theirs on who was screaming.
Yeah, it was all just shouting chaos. And I was surprised how physical it got between Nani and Kellyanne, at least on Nani's side. Nani was throwing some shoves.
See, I didn't even notice the physicality until Jamie got involved. I thought Jamie was just like plowing through Wes, and Wes was like treating it like it was real soccer with his hands up, like as though he would get called for a handball. I didn't right. understand that.
Well, Kellyanne, before the challenge, with a dynamite quote about playing blindfolded soccer, saying she doesn't have the best hand-eye coordination for blindfolded soccer. Just think about that. You don't have eyes or hands. You're just using feet.
See, that got buried when she was like, I don't know if blind people play soccer, but like, kudos to them.
Yeah. And then she wound up just pick up the ball and run with it. Kellyanne's a treasure.
See, I just kept thinking of how, you know, because I'm grossly self-centered, how I would do in this, because I got to tell you, I've done some like team building exercises where you are blindfolded and you just have to like walk around some cones in a carpeted, you know, room. And I am, this will be such a shock to everyone, terrible at both the calling and the listening position.
Oh boy. Not gonna end well.
And I happen to be bad at soccer. So to me, this was seemed like a nightmare.
I'm surprised only like one time did someone just run into the wall, because I can't believe that didn't happen more often.
Yeah, and then I love how Kellyanne takes the time to stop and bitch at Jamie about how he didn't protect her from that. Way to go!
Yeah. Oh, Kellyanne, I will miss thee.
Did they get you with this? Because they, when I saw the Tales Never Fails, guys are up, and Jamie made such quick work of Wes. And they had a cutting to commercial with basically, you know, Jamie's foot in the goal. I was like, all right, Wes is going home. This is happening.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I really was unclear who was gonna win. I don't really remember. This is a bad way to think about the show, but like, I don't really remember any scenes involving either of them that are supposed to come up later on. So like, I was in the dark there, which is always good. And they weren't really hinting so strongly that one of them was going home. I mean, it would have been a bummer on the storytelling aspect of Wes just now gathering his troops and then he's getting his throat cut. So that would have sucked, which is in the back of my head the only thing I was thinking about, that why would they now start showing Wes forming his army if he was just about to put his head on a stick.
I was justifying it to myself. I was like, all right, well, at least, like, you know, it's an opportunity for Dario and Devin and Jamie. Like, they all just got rallied. They're going to press on. They're the future of the challenge. Like, they're going to dethrone the king, although I do think he's going to win the challenge. And so then I was like, all right, I'm getting okay with it. And then when Wes pulls out the win, they got me and I loved it.
Yeah. And then Wes with the great exit. Well, there's a Chappelle skit show, right, where if you quit your job, you just yell at everyone, fuck you, you're cool, and then he did that. Good for him.
I mean, I loved it because I've never entered a room and not addressed every single person based on how much I liked them or not. It was a real airing of grievances and I loved it.
Yeah, good for Wes.
And then, of course, we get like the snide remark from Bananas, like, oh, Wes doesn't do anything with Grace. Like, take a joke. Like, I loved when he was like, you're on the fence to Corey and Ashley. Like, that was funny. They were laughing. I don't think anybody is going to come back being like, wow, Wes was really out of line there.
Like, he has to know, like, that's just like dripping with irony, him saying like he doesn't win or lose with class. Right. Like, does he not see any self-awareness there?
I mean, does he see self-awareness anywhere? This is a man that calls himself Bananas and sells bobbleheads of his face.
It's just a man like, yeah, he doesn't win or lose with class. Let me blame Sarah for all of the world's troubles for cutting me loose 2 seasons ago.
I will say this episode has me so hyped for at least the next episode. I mean, we are getting it's not even a tease. Like, we are getting the full picture of the buildup of the Bananas and Vince elimination, which maybe we will get to see who the better partners. I didn't even think of this between That's Sarah it. And Jenna. And I am so hyped up for that, you know, cousin on cousin battle.
It's the battle of the cousins. Maybe we'll get Littlefinger to bring in the veil to help secure the win.
You know, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
It's okay. I don't make all my references for you.
I will say I held back a reference for you yesterday that I should have made. I ended up
Feel free to shoot references over my head.
It's not like it's above you. I feel like it'd be shooting it below your feet. Like, I'm not trying to say what I was going to reference was better than you. It's just like I knew no one would know what I was talking about.
That's fair.
But I'm so hyped up to see Wes in full effect. Like, maybe this is why we've been disappointed with Wes, is because Nani was really holding him back. And now anytime we were promised, anytime Wes is speaking, it's going to be politics. And whether or not it works out, I feel like it's going to be fireworks either way.
I feel like doing anything 100% of the time can never be good. So.
Great. Let's do it.
Good luck with that.
I want that on TV. I want political, slimy Wes playing from the bottom, even when he's like not really on the bottom. I mean, in terms of, I guess his team has less challenge prowess.
Mm-hmm.
But if Nate and Christina can win, anything's possible.
Yeah. I mean, so do you think we actually are going to get the Bananas versus Vince elimination? They were kind of like teasing like, oh, this would be the worst thing that ever happened. And then classic MTV cut to them fighting in the next elimination. Is that something that happens?
I am going to just put my eggs in the basket. I'm going to be hopeful. Would I be surprised if it's build up, and it never happens? Although we did get it last season with Kara and Bananas, where we mm-hmm. had like a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or full season build to their elimination. So I'd love to see it.
Do we have any bet pending right now?
Well, right now
don't we have the Jenna thing with like why she's crying?
Yeah, but we can make multiple bets. Yeah.
I was just curious if you had one penny. So do you want to do a bet if Bananas and Vince face off?
Do you want to take that they don't?
I'll take the no.
All right, then yeah, I want to make that bet.
Okay.
And I would be... See, normally I would like to take that they don't because then I'd be happy either way. If they don't, I win. If they do, I win because I watch good TV. But, you know, I'm feeling optimistic. I'm feeling stupid probably, but...
Let's rock. 10 points, 5 points, whatever we normally do. Whatever.
All right,
we'll
do 10 points. The rules don't matter. It's who's long as anyway. Perfect. All right, 10 points. Brian is taking No Showdown, and I'm taking Good TV. Remind me what these mean later.
Okay.
Yeah. God, that would suck if it doesn't happen. All right, we're not covering the after show, one, because we just spoke through it, but two, because it's like a challenge survival guide. So
yeah, it doesn't even feel like it's a real after show. Like it's like one of those highlight clips. So,
you know, I'm going to watch it and come with notes for next week.
I'll watch it.
Can you just tell me what happens next week?
Sure.
All right. I'm still going to watch it.
Good, because I'm not going to be here next week.
Oh, shoot. I gotta get this up. All right. So Jamie Lefevre says, will we ever see creepy Uncle Vince clips on this season, or is he a changed man?
I want to go back. I'm really mad Vinny Pineapples hasn't stuck. I really like that nickname. I'm mad it hasn't gotten around the house. Wes needs to start like putting his face on pineapples. He's constantly calling pineapples to like make it stick.
Did I say last week that Colin Stone is upset because he thinks that Vinny Papayas would be a much better name? And it would fit the tropical theme of like bananas being a cousin to the papaya.
That's actually really good. But once again, would you really think Vince would be able to think that? Or I guess Wes would be able to think that. Another bad job by Wes. First, he doesn't realize to start paying attention. Now he's not coming up with proper nicknames. All right. Vinny Papaya.
I don't know if you know this, but Marcy Gablitz wants to know, do you know if the challenge has been renewed yet?
I don't. No, but I mean, Are You the One is coming back and Real World is coming back. So if those two are coming back.
Back, is it because it's renewed or because they're casting?
I think both.
Oh, I didn't know that it was officially renewed.
Oh, well, good for at them. Least casting.
Because they'll least cast casting. Anything. I feel like they always post casting stuff like true. Shows. Let's see. No, but usually we get people tweeted us. So we have really nice people who tweeted us. So when we hear via Twitter, we will let you know. Or let us know if you hear first.
Yes.
Cha-cha-cha. Anything else from the show? I have some Twitter shit.
Not really. I mean, Devin wanting to really get involved with Wes. I guess it's good to see him getting more involved. So shout out to Devin.
Is it weird for you at all that Devin and Cheyenne have already been eliminated? Like, I know the rules are the rules, but they've gotten further than I expected them to get.
It's a little weird, but this whole season has been like super weird. So I can't really even give it much thought.
All right.
I'm just going along for the ride. I'm just enjoying it. I'm not thinking about the fact that we've only had 4 eliminations in 9 episodes and one of those teams was just thinking about trying to sabotage the whole game. So I'm just enjoying myself.
I lied when I asked you, when I said I had nothing else. I have one more question related to the episode from PJ Gahan, who says, do you guys think we're going to see the hallway elimination this season? I've liked the eliminations this season so far, including this one, but I kind of like the pure physicality of the eliminations and will and think that these two teams would have created an entertaining elimination.
I hope so. That's probably one of the best eliminations they have, either something like that or whenever they have holding like the triangle up to rip it out or putting the ball in the basket. Those are usually great. I hope we get them, but I mean, I wouldn't bet on it or anything. I mean, I think the challenges eliminations have been fantastic this season, so I definitely have no complaints.
The one thing, and I'm just trying to quickly pull up the name of the person who wrote this in their 5-star review last week, but they mentioned that that's kind of the shortcoming with co-ed teams, whether it be exes or co-ed rivals, because you can't really do a full-on physical elimination. And I feel like they want with rivals to make it a team thing, which is why they like unnecessarily have someone be the caller. Like, I don't think they want to fully pull the rival bit out of it, but I don't know why I think they should.
I mean, they could do it like something like, didn't they do for like an X's or Rivals, or they just have it as like a relay race basically? So you could do something like that.
Just AG143 who mentioned that. I don't know. I'd like to see some more physical stuff, but not at anyone's physical expense or health or anything.
Not when they are intoxicated.
Very true. Okay, so a couple of notes. One, shocking, Cara Maria is getting involved again. I'm really getting sick of this.
She chirps from the clouds a lot.
I'm over it. Just get back on the show. I like you on the show.
Yeah.
Then talk your shit. So basically, she tweeted, seems whether you stay or go on a challenge after you physically assault someone usually depends on how much production loves your partner. Okay, Cara. Then she said, somebody wrote, this seems like you're talking shit on Jenna, though. Chin scratch emoji always makes an appearance. And then Cara said, fan/production love Jenna. How is that shit talk? People need to get a grip. She's cool. He's a pig. The end. Which, don't backtrack, because you basically just said that it's bullshit they didn't get sent home. And now you're like, oh, she's amazing. What are you talking about?
She just likes talking, and then if someone calls her out, she'll backtrack. I feel like this. I feel like we're getting like the real Cara, that why people don't like her on Twitter, and then we're like kind of seeing why everyone really doesn't like her in the house. We never really understand why. Like, she seems kind of cool in the house, so maybe her Twitter persona is actually what she is in the house.
Yeah, always getting involved where she doesn't belong, as are we right now. That's none of your damn business.
We're not getting paid to do it.
Forget being paid. We're not tweeting at them. This is like. They can't see this,
right?
Unless they want to. So Jenna says, that's easy to say hiding behind social media. I don't know how I got dragged in on people's drama. If you want to talk shit, at least tag me so I could see it. But going after someone's body is unacceptable. I'm reading this out of order. You'll get the gist. Then she says, Tony and Shane did last season. So did Amanda when she pushed Camilla's face in the trailer. But let's just attack us. And then she says, it's funny because if anyone was in our position, I don't think they'd be saying anything, just saying. Cara then says, MTV wasn't going to let their favorite blonde go home, and Vince is Johnny's cousin, so he got a free pass. What's not to get? Jenna says, what free pass? I'm confused. And she continues, well, that was guy versus guy, not a guy after a girl, which we already debated. Mm-hmm. And she says, it's, I already read that. Cara then tagged Jenna and says, wasn't talking shit on you. Yes, you were. Answering questions. You did nothing. The pig did. People confused why he stayed and others didn't. Now, this is my favorite part. Pierce Bauer, stranger, says, so then why would Tony and Camilla go home? They were by far the most entertaining team. And Cara says, actually, you are right. No clue. Just trying to justify why one hits physically and stays, the other verbally argues and leaves. So, too long, did not listen. Cara doesn't know shit.
Nope. And then she got mic dropped by a rando. So, shout out by the rando.
All right, so Reality TV Fan Addict was the first to bring this to at least my attention. He brought it to yours too. I don't know if it was the first, who said, Mike from Are You the One season 3 will be on the next Real World, which is going to be Real World Seattle. And before we cut to your reaction, we must go to Jemmy, because everyone goes to Jemmy for the reaction. She tweeted, double eye roll emoji. Somebody that has already been on TV shouldn't be casted. Takes away from the authenticity of what the Real World is.
There's the authenticity of Real World right now.
So, Brian, please weigh in.
I have no problem with them casting someone from Are You the One. I have a problem with them casting Mike, who was either super dull or throwing Amanda across the room. So very bizarre choice.
Yeah, for anyone who didn't watch Are You the One, Mike and Amanda from this season of The Challenge had a very, you know, hot and cold relationship, very fiery. And it ended with him, quote unquote, electing to go home after being physical with her. I mean, he didn't hit her. He like kind of grabbed her by the neck, if I recall.
Yeah, threw her, right? Did he throw her across the bed?
Like on the bed. Not that it's better or worse, just, you know, stating facts. Yeah, I don't want to weigh in. But yeah, he's rumored to be returning for the real world. I just don't think it makes any sense. Like, I don't think it doesn't bother me that it's him. I mean, it's kind of funny that, like, maybe this is why they had him elect to go home. They were like, we promise you'll come back on the show, but we don't want to send you home and then bring you back. Like, maybe they're trying to change that. I don't know. But it's very bizarre that they would seemingly reward someone who got physical with a spot on it, like an unprecedented position. Right. Like, it's precedented to go on the challenge after you've hit someone, for better or for worse. But to go on the real world, which I see what Jemmy's saying. Yes, there's no the reality is there's no authenticity anymore. But to have somebody, you assume people, well, what'll be funny is that people won't know who he is, but you would assume that people who want to go on the real world, you know, are familiar with these kinds of shows and might know him. And then that's kind of weird because he's on a, he's maybe a half a step higher than the people who just be coming into the house normally.
Right. I mean, the biggest thing about going on a show like The Real World or whatever is just, has to be just the first week of getting used to being on cameras, and he's used to doing that. So it's just a weird move. Unless, I mean, do we know anything about the other cast? Are they bringing people from all different types of shows, and that's just what The Real World is, and he's just someone from Are You the One?
I was going to say, I haven't looked into it. I mean, I get that even if he's just the only one, maybe because of the huge reaction to people coming from Are You the One, they want to do some like three-way crossover. Someone tweeted, I'm sorry I didn't pull who it was, about like the potential of them putting people on the challenge on Are You the One. I hope this is not where, like, that's not where this is going.
Yeah, that would be super lame.
And then it's like, how many times can we watch the same people, right? So we're gonna see Mike on Are You the One, then we're going to partially see him on, I don't know how much we're going to watch of The Real World. Luckily, we don't have to cover it. And then you presume that they're going to then bring him on the challenge to like bridge the gap between the people who are on The Real World and the people who are on Are You the One. But why? At what cost?
I don't know. So we need to come up with a name, like the people who win like an Emmy, a Tony, and all that stuff. Now we have to come up with the name of the person who's been on the challenge, Real World, and Are You the One.
It's Karin.
It's a car. Yeah, it's a car. That was easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's weird. That's it. Adrian Vara says, with Are You the One crossing over to Real World 2, who from the Real World and Challenge do you think would be good for Are You the One?
No one. Don't put anyone on Are You the One. It should all be new people.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of off the bat would be Nicole. I mean, she's young, she's single, she's fiery. Actually, I think she's with someone else, according to Nate's like relentless tweets. But
well, that doesn't stop you from going on Real Are You the One, though.
Oh, don't jump ahead. July 11th, tune back in.
Dun-dun-dun.
But yeah, so that that wraps that up.
Yeah, it's just such a weird choice of all the Are You the One people to bring back Mike. Like, oh my god, such a weird choice.
Yeah, I mean, people were saying like it should be someone who has like a dark backstory. I don't know. I could see Mike being cast on The Real World had he not already been on Are You the One.
Totally.
Like, I feel like they want someone who's like very from their part of the country, which he is. Like, he's very, I don't even know where he's from, New York. He's very
a New Yorker.
Like, Northeast. And he is like a stripper and he's down to drink and hook up.
Maybe he's not really hired on The Real World. Maybe they just hired him for like the first night to be the male stripper of the house. And then that's his services. And then he goes home.
I mean, you know. Oh, this I wanted to bring up. Speaking of strippers, not to call Ashley and Jenna a stripper, but what 13-year-old boy is either filming or cutting the show together that we get like the shot of Jenna coming up from the pool that like zooms in on her ass and crotch. And then we get like the toast, which is just like double phenomenal butts, but just butts. And it's like, what? Seriously, it's like one of those jokes when someone's filming right. something and they just like zoom in on boobs or something. You're like, no, no, go the other way.
I'm not going to complain, so that's fine with me.
You should. You're a creep. Who's watching this to get, like, get that? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're this isn't Showtime.
It. We're all watching it.
No,
we're
for that purpose. I
didn't put a show together. I just enjoy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is not what that show is about. Like, this is not... Even The Bachelorette, I feel like, is more of that kind of show. Like, it was just... I was like, all right, what 13-year-old, like, son of a producer is, like, accidentally zooming in on the camera? And they're like, shit, this is all we had? All right, we'll throw it in.
Because it take your child to work there. That's why we got blind soccer. They probably did that as kids.
Well, then I'm in favor of it. I'll watch all the butts you want for good challenges.
There you go.
And on that note...
I got nothing else.
Booty, 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 rocket everywhere. All right.
If you want to subscribe, Rob has a website, .com/challengeiTunes or Twitter at @PushRobsYouReOut. You?
You follow me at butt tweets. I'm going to change it and only talk about butts on reality television.
You'll have a lot to talk about then.
But for now, it's Lash Tweets.
And it probably won't change. Next week, not to break everyone's hearts, I will not be here next week. So prepare yourselves now.
I'll have someone cool.
You could try. You could try to find someone maybe as cool.
I have a couple people in the hopper.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I'll definitely be listening. It'd be weird to like listen to this podcast without my voice being on it. So that'd be kind of cool. But then that's episode 10. Then we'll be back episode 11 again. Are you the one? Keep following along. We just did episode 3. That's chugging along. All on the same outlet. Till then, have a good one.